Pete, I'm so excited to have the chance to chat with you. Thanks for making time.
I'm pleased to be here and with you now, and I'm looking forward to the trip next week to Idaho Falls.
We're really anticipating your keynote address. Pete, you've made some major contributions to science and engineering, but your influence reaches beyond that. You've also been really instrumental in the civil rights movement and encouraging people to bloom where they're planted and to do what they can right where they are to make a difference. You graduated in 1973 with a PhD in engineering science from Northwestern University. I can only imagine that you've had a front row seat for some pretty big transformations.
Let me just say that when I was at graduate school at Northwestern, the College of Engineering was in a building called the Technology Institute. And that's, in fact, the organization where the College of Engineering was referred to as the Technology Institute. And at that time, I was the only African-American graduate student. There were a few undergraduates, but Northwestern only had one in all of engineering, and that was me. I was told by the dean at the time, when I questioned this, that he couldn't find any. So I challenged them to send me to recruit. So I went several places. He paid for my trip. I visited Tuskegee Institute, Florida A&M, the Atlanta University Systems, primarily HBCUs, and I came back with the names of four students that I thought could get into Northwestern and graduate. It turns out, the long story short, they did graduate with graduate degrees from Northwestern. And I'm pretty pleased with that because historically, after that, Northwestern became known as a place in which African Americans could go and should go to get graduate degrees in engineering. So, and now something like 6% of their graduate students are African Americans. And so I've seen a big change, but the change didn't come without someone having to question the assumptions that were made at the time. And in nuclear engineering now, when I became a member of the American Nuclear Society, there were three or four members of the American Nuclear Society that are African American. And now you go to an ANS meeting and you just run into African Americans all the time. So there's been a big change, no question about it. But on the other hand, we still have quite a ways to go.
Pete, I love that story because it really encompasses the theme of this year's Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. banquet, The Power of One. Mm-hmm. It's remarkable that instead of just sitting back and saying this isn't right, you challenged the status quo, and by doing so, we're able to make a substantial difference. And I think that's inspiring for all of us to recognize that we have the power to make a difference. We just have to make that decision.
Yes, that's right. And I hope in the remarks I make at the banquet, I hope to give many examples of just that, the power of one. Many examples beyond me, but many other people in our history that have made an immense difference, Martin Luther King clearly being one of them.
Martin Luther King Jr., one of the quotes I love, Pete, is that he said, "Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter." That is so true. We have to use our voices, and when we unite our voices, it becomes impossible not to hear us.
That's right. That's the power of one. The power of one, to me, as I hope to get across in my presentation, means the power that one person can make. And I'm going to give an example of Emmett Till, who was a friend of mine, as an example of a person who made a huge difference without even recognizing in his life that his difference would be so great. And then there's also the power of one, meaning a group of people get together and work as one. That's a power of one as well. And I hope to give examples of both of those.
Emmett Till's story is one that is heartbreaking, and yet, like you said, it showcases the power of one, the power of the difference that he made, of his mother, and the difference that she made. And we're certainly looking forward to hearing more about that.
Yes, I hope to discuss that. And one story that's really important when we talk about Emmett Till is that after his death, only 2-3 months later, Rosa Parks was sitting on a bus in Birmingham, Alabama, reflecting on the Jet magazine article that she had read and the horrific photos of Emmett Till and just the murder of Emmett Till. And that was in her mind when she refused to give up her bus, her seat on that bus in Montgomery, Alabama, kicking off the Montgomery bus boycott and launching the career of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. So there's a connection between Emmett Till and Rosa Parks and Martin Luther King Jr. That's really a story that's not told as often as it should be.
No, it's not. Pete, I mean, I think most of us are pretty familiar with Rosa Parks' story, with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., but I had no idea that that's what prompted Rosa Parks to make that decision.
Yes, she talked about this in her memoirs.
And that is, again, the power of one and connecting those dots and seeing how things really work together to get us on the road to positive transformation. Pete, you were confirmed in 2009 as Assistant Secretary for Nuclear Energy and served in President Barack Obama's first administration. I'm sure that was an incredible experience. You got to rub shoulders with many influential people, and you saw the power of one at work. Is there a story that stands out to you from that time?
A story that stands out to me that came to my mind immediately was how I got the position in the first place. Well, I had retired from Los Alamos National Laboratory, and I was living in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I was a consultant, and as far as I was concerned, that was going to be the remainder of my professional life. And I get a call after the inauguration and after he was confirmed as the Secretary of Energy from Stephen Chu, who was his first Secretary of Energy, a distinguished Nobel Prize winning physicist, Stephen Chu. And he called me to ask, well, who did I think should be Assistant Secretary for Nuclear Energy? I gave him the name of a person I thought was the right person. And he called me back again and said, well, we'd like to give the position to you. We'd like to offer it to you. And I said, no, I'm not interested. I'm not in politics. I didn't participate in the campaign. I voted, but I didn't participate.